So there was no way to show this to the whole congregation, but in that story, when Beakle gets into the real world and all of a sudden he discovers that it's not the world he imagined, there's this picture of him sort of wandering through a city, recognizing that there is an accordion player playing, and everybody's just hustling and bustling around, and no one's got time to listen to the music. And then in the next picture, everybody's on the subway, earphones plugged in, snoring, because everyone needs a nap. For a moment in reading that book, I tried to do what often happens when you read a good story. I tried to imagine myself within it. Is this how the real world is? All of us just bustling around? All of us just needing naps? And if so, well, why? I tried to think of it. And maybe I would invite you to do the same. Think of it. A whole crowd of people bustling by on the city sidewalk. Why don't people stop to listen to the music? Does everybody need a nap because people are working two or three jobs just to make ends meet? Or maybe are they working one big job that has consumed their lives, convinced that it's the goal and the meaning of everything? Do people not stop to listen to the music because they're scared of what might happen if they do? Like, say, imagine a guy with a prosthetic leg. Perhaps he's not stopping because standing in crowds triggers the PTSD from his time in Iraq back in 2005. Or maybe the people of color aren't stopping because they're scared someone will see their skin and think of them as a criminal and call the police, the way the police were called on those two African-American men waiting for their friend in Starbucks over in Philly a few weeks ago. Maybe the lady in high-heeled shoes isn't stopping because she's afraid of being catcalled. Oh, books for children don't put those details in. But the story's right. In the real world, there are lots of reasons why people don't stop to listen to the music. And there are lots of reasons why people get tired. Can you imagine a different world that runs according to different rules? A world in which there is no fear. An economy that doesn't wear people out. Relationships in which differences bring unity rather than prejudice or despair or division. Could you imagine a world in which everyone has the opportunity to survive and thrive? Where security happens without walls and wars? Can you imagine just being able to stop and listen to the music? Jesus could imagine such a world. Or maybe it's better to say that he could imagine such a kingdom. He called it the kingdom of God, and when he came, he brought that kingdom with him and began living it, acting it out. Ready, right in the middle of our harsh, real world. He was that kingdom's Messiah, that kingdom's Christ, which is not his last name, but a word that means anointed leader. And like all leaders, he came to coax us into what was possible. He came into this world as a living testimony of what God desires, how God wanted the forces that shape our lives and our futures to be determined not by fear, but by love. He came to show how God wanted relationships to be marked by compassion and how God longed for all people to do that right here and right now, even in the face of evil. On the night before he died, John's gospel tells us, he told his followers to abide in his love. And a short while later, he'd show them what that meant. Soldiers and police showed up with lanterns and torches and weapons, and Peter, his friend, drew his sword and cut off one of their ears, but Jesus healed it and said no more. My kingdom's not of this world, he told Pilate, while the soldiers were getting ready the wood and the nails. If it were, my followers would be fighting, but that is not my kingdom. and that is not my way. To believe in Jesus, or as our second lesson puts it, to believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Messiah, is to believe in his way. To believe that Jesus is the Christ doesn't just mean that we believe that Jesus existed or that he came from God. It means believing in and abiding in his love, and it means walking in his way, the way of the cross. It means discovering hatreds and prejudices within ourselves and allowing them to be transformed. It means taking risks and discovering new friends. More concretely, it might mean, well, something like reading the Butler Eagle when you see all the mugshots that are printed along with the crime stories and focusing on each face, not with horror, but in imagining each person as a beloved child of God. The way of the cross might mean deciding not to post that comment that so cleverly makes fun of your political opponent on Facebook. Or it might simply mean responding to someone who's angry with you by listening. Sometimes, just listening and believing someone's story can be a powerful way of love. It's not always easy. In the little book I read for the children's sermon, when the friends do find each other, they discover that being friends is awkward. Giving to others takes practice. The powers that be in our world that keep us from listening to the music, that mean, that wear us out, that make us need to take naps, the powers that be keep us focused on ourselves. And real love isn't always what we imagine it to be or hope for. It can be messy and complicated. And so very often, people don't respond in kind. Which is why it's important to remember that love comes first from God. And love is made possible because God loves us first, not for what we've earned or accomplished or how strong we are, but simply because we're God's. And God loves us so much that for us, Christ lays down his life and makes us into his friends. So love is hard, but Scripture promises also this. Love is born of God, and whatever is born of God does in fact conquer the world. It reshapes the world around us so that the real world becomes God's world. And every act of love that comes from abiding in God's presence puts the powers of fear that drive us apart from one another on notice. They don't have the last word. In some small way, with each act of love done with abiding in Christ, the world becomes more like the world as God imagines it, in which we all do survive and thrive. Amen.